welcome back to another episode of On a Related Note podcast. I'm Mecca.
I'm Mia.
And today our episode is a long time coming. We're excited for this one. So we're probably going to, you know, yap a lot. I'm done saying that we're going to try to keep
this
short.
It's going to be an hour.
Yes. So we are going to get into our little...
Our story time.
We need a name for this instead of like little tidbits or like, oh, story time.
Definitely
like, we need
by the new year, we'll have like a name for the segment.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and get into that because we know this episode is going to be
long.
We're hyped about this one, so it's going to be long, just like the Ace Attorney one.
This is going to be our first true, besides the Ace Attorney one. Okay, so our second true yap session.
Yeah. So... do you want to get into your story first?
Sure.
Or? Okay.
So this past weekend, this past weekend, I went to a Lego exhibit in Richmond, and it was called Traveling Bricks, and it was really cool. I took a couple pictures. I was mostly just like, you know, soaking in the moment. So I honestly didn't think to take that many pictures, and my camera is not like the best. So I was just looking at them being like, ooh, cool brick Lego.
I don't know if you showed me. I think you showed me like one picture, but
one out of like even, five.
Yeah, oh.
But I'll show you later. Mm-hmm. But it was slightly underwhelming only because it deserved more gallery space. Like it was too short. What was there was really cool though, but it needed more, you know, like it deserved so much more. But alas. And I also saw a movie called Small Things Like These. Really good movie. Really nice movie. Not something that I can say everyone would like because of the pacing. It was kind of slow and it focuses more on like emotion and like the atmosphere than like any drama or action and stuff like that. But it's based on a novella and it is on my list and I am going to read it. So really nice. Really nice trip. Was hanging out with friends and great weekend.
You need... you basically need a book list, and I'm sure maybe you have one, but like you're always like, oh, I'm gonna read this book.
Oh, I
or
made
like
it.
You next year that should be a goal for you.
Like my friend, she has a lot of books, and she was recommending me ones that are either like things like these or just ones that she thought I would like. So I have like six up there now. And then there was a book in Tears of Themis that was referenced, and I was like, this game references a lot of in-world stuff. So I went to Google and it's real, and I was like, bless, it's another novella. So that one's a romance novella, and the one based on a movie is like a historical kind of narrative. So yeah, that's my story time. Read books, guys.
Yeah. Reading is fun. Woo! Reading is fun and fundamental. So,
yeah it puts the fun in fundamental.
Oh my gosh. Yeah there we go. My little story, I recently saw one of my favorite bands of over 10 years in concert, and I may have mentioned it a few weeks ago when we talked about the Avatar The Last Airbender concert, but like I'm not much of a concert goer. I haven't been to that many concerts in my life unless you want to count the like student jazz concerts from when I was in college, but like you know, established artists or whatever, I've been to like maybe three. Like I don't know, I went to Mindless Behavior, I saw Skillet.
Throwback.
I know, man. And that's really all that...
I think my only technical concert was the Skillet one because I just... like, the whole family went or something. Like, tagged along. And that's the only one I've ever been to that's a real concert.
Right.
If you don't count Six the Musical, which is styled like a concert. So...
but yeah, so the band is called Local Natives, if I didn't say that already. And I've been a fan of theirs since, like, early high school. And I got to see them in concert and... it was just the best time ever. Like, it was so important to me because I don't see artists that much. So, being able to see somebody I like, it was just like, I can't, like, to the, like, this was, 3 days ago, 2 days ago. Today's Wednesday. It was on Sunday. And, I've been listening to them every day since then. Like, they will come on my shuffle anyway, but like I've just been nonstop listening to them because I'm still on that concert high. Like I haven't reached post-concert depression.
Converse high. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So I did the VIP package because one of the guys, Kelsey, he is leaving the band after they finish up this tour for the last part of the year. He's leaving the band, so he wanted to finish the tour with them. It's amicable and everything. He just has, you know, other things that he wants to do with his life and other endeavors, and he's been in the band for so long, so like he's earned it. It's great. It's it's sad, but like they're going to keep going. So I definitely wanted the opportunity to see as much as of them as I could during the time that they were here, since this is the first and last time I'll ever be able to see them in person. So I did the Q&A thing. I asked them about like the previous version of their band, and they were like, wait, where'd you get that from? Why do you even know that? Like, that's kind of crazy that you're asking us about that. Nobody ever asked us about that. And I was like, hey. And it was just, it was really cool to get to interact with them and everything. Like, I know there's so much discourse around like parasocial relationships, but like to be able to talk to somebody who like means a lot to you, it's just cool. It's cool. But yeah, I had a great time. I took so much footage, because of course I did. They played all my favorite songs, it felt like. And I bought my first vinyl from the merch stand. Not just of them, but like the first vinyl ever. And so that was cool. And yeah, I hope they don't take another almost 10 years to come back. I hope they come back soon so I can see them again.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they came in 2016, but I wasn't really in a position to go at that time.
You mean like here in our area?
Yeah.
I thought you just meant making music.
No.
Okay, that's all. That's crazy.
Nah.
I'm not surprised that they don't come around.
Yeah, but I hope we made a good enough impression on them this time that they would want to come back sooner. But they also don't like tour every year, so I guess it kind of wasn't that they didn't want to come back. It's just that they were just not touring on this side of the country, but because they're a California band. So anyway, I could just gush over this concert like a lot. Ew, I never say that word. I could talk about this concert a lot, so I'm just gonna stop now so we can get into like the what we're here for today.
Well, two smaller things.
Right.
My first, my fidget friend for the episode is another lizard. I have two more after
this. I was about to say, they just keep rolling out. No, you shouldn't have even gave the number. You should have just been like.
I think I have one or two. This one's name is, okay, the first one was Liz, and then it was, I pulled out Lizardo. This one is Lizandre. This one was Andre.
Lizandre is
Leandre, Lizandre, something like that.
I'm freaking me, bro.
He's more intact than
intact?
Yes, than Lizardo, because that one I tugged like this and the tail like was ripping. So I was like, oh, but I can properly stretch this one. And second, we now have matching cups for our podcast. And well, yeah, you can see the green. Our colors are blue and green, and she bought some, and they're cool.
Yeah, I saw these cups at work, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're cute. And then I saw them another time, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're our podcast colors. I have to get them. And so I finally got them. They're a little sweaty, but they're so cute.
It's giving Art Deco, and I'm here for it.
It kind of reminds me, too, there was a wrestling tag team, and they had a little talk show that they would do on Sundays, just on like WWE's YouTube channel called Everrise Live, because their team name was Everrise. And they always had a mug and they had their logo on it or whatever. We're not putting our logo on it. The colors speak enough and it's just cute, but like it's oh my cool gosh. To, you know, I feel even more official.
I can make stickers though. I literally have sticker paper.
Yeah. I mean, but
it'll sweat off though, like with condensation. Yeah,
so. Unless, I mean, but it's a thought.
We can probably figure it out, though. Like, we can make a little, like, the things that go around the cup.
Or like a little, like a cozy thing.
And then put a sticker on
cozy.
That.
It's a thought. We'll workshop that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that. Because I wanted to mention the cups, but I'm just, like, I'm thinking ahead to the content here, so I forgot.
From the concert to the content.
Right. Yeah, we've got all of our business taken out, taken care of, so.
This episode is... Was it something that we wanted to do since like day one? Like it was already in the plans to do something like this?
I think
so. We were brainstorming ideas for the podcast. I think it was on the original list.
I think so. Because we actually did, well, let's first like say what we're doing.
Yes. Yeah, so this episode, we are going to rank the villains in the Barbie cinematic universe.
So all of the animated Barbie
the DCU,
movies.
If you will.
Yeah. The Barbie cinematic universe, hence for henceforth known as the BCU, we will be ranking villains from those movies. So we grew up watching Barbie movies. She was more so the Barbie fan. Like, she had dolls. She watched, like,
the movies, Barbie Life in the Dream House. I was on Barbie.com. I did the dress up game.
She had a PlayStation game. Like, she was the Barbie fan. The horse
game. Oh my God. Like, I had DS games. Like,
I was just here for the movies.
I wrote an essay in DE English in my senior year of high school about, like, something that inspired you as a child or from childhood. And I wrote it about Barbie. And I kind of wrote in, like, towards the conclusion, something along the lines of, I know this is kind of childish. Actually, I don't think it was something like, the prompt wasn't like, what inspired you in your childhood? I think it just said, what inspired you some point in your life? And I wrote about Barbie. And I was like, you know, these come childish, but, like, it kind of shaped a lot of my imagination and some of my potential career goals that, you know, definitely changed. But, like, me in my room saying, I want to be a musketeer after watching Barbie be musketeer. Absolutely not. But my teacher had left a comment on Canvas that was like, this isn't childish at all. Like, own it.
Shout out to her.
And I was like, I love you. Oh my God, man. But yeah, she lived vicariously through me for a lot of the, like, almost all
the movies. I was definitely here for the movies.
Like, she watched the movies with me. Mm-hmm. Specifically, this ranking will go to, like, 13,
yeah. Because so it goes from,
after that, we aged out of us pretty much really showing a bunch of interest in the movies,
which was just in time because based on the cover art of the
creative,
like, the
direction.
Yeah, I think we were definitely the golden age of Barbie. So 2020 pandemic hit, we were in lockdown. Me and her both graduated in lockdown, didn't know what the future held. We were just sitting at home and we were like, you know what? Let's have a Barbie movie marathon. So we watched all the movies that we watched when we were a kid in chronological order. It took us like 10 days, like seven, like a week.
Like a week, a little over a week probably.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't doing anything else. It probably was literally a week.
Yeah. Cause we were just like watching a few a day. And after we finished, we just kind of was like, there were some crazy villains in there.
Villains were wild.
Yeah. So we just, like, for fun, we kind of made a ranking of like the worst villains and put it in a note and we moved on. So when we started this podcast, we were like, we have to do that again. Let's watch all the movies again. Or this time we weeded it out a little bit because there were a few movies where, like, we already knew that the villain wasn't really worth ranking. So we rewatched all the ones that we knew had, like, rankable villains.
Yeah.
And we're going to rank them again. We have notes this time, so we can,
yes, we watched them and took notes,
so we can explain why we think they should be ranked where they are. And then at the end of this, we're going to compare this to the list we did in 2020, which we haven't looked at.
I don't even know, like,
just to see if it stood the
test of time,
right?
The villains were that bad,
right. Is it really in concrete here? Like, yeah, so that is what we're doing, and we can just get into it.
So I guess we'll just go through the list and read our notes and then be like, that's feeling a 7 for now or something.
Yeah, we'll do the tentative ranking as we're going through the list. And then at the end, we'll put everything in place the way we want it. And then we'll compare. So we are going in chronological order as much as we can, mm-hmm. from starting with Barbie as Rapunzel and ending with what is at the end? What we just
Barbie
watched.
Princess and Pop Star, right?
Yes, Barbie.
Oh no,
actually no, Mariposa and the Fairy Princess. So, there are a couple reoccurring villains. So instead of doing their movies in chronological order, we're just going to talk about them all at once. So that'll be a little bit out of order, but for the most part, we're following the timeline. So we're starting with Barbie as Rapunzel. We had the VHS
tape, the OG,
for this. But that's when we rewatched it. We found it online because
we don't have a VCR.
Yeah, our VCR is
do we?
I'm not sure, but it definitely doesn't.
It might
work.
Be in storage or something because I swear we had one, but it just was obsolete.
So Barbie as Rapunzel, the villain there, it was Mother Gothel,
God, her freaking, what was he in? His name was Otto.
He was like a weasel or something.
I was about to say her otter, but his name is Otto.
Oh my gosh. Her animal sidekick or animal familiar or whatever. He was just his voice is
animal annoyance.
His voice is crazy and he is so worse.
If you've seen the viral meme, put the gift or whatever here, like, you know who we're talking about.
So let's talk about her wrongdoings here.
I'm starting off crazy.
The first bullet point on our notes is a quote from her. She would have been my daughter if you married me. I simply took what was mine. Like, what? So if you know the story of Rapunzel, this is the story of Rapunzel with Barbie's own twist. So, you know, Rapunzel got kidnapped and she was held against her will in a tower.
And I'm sure there are like different versions of Rapunzel that the reasons for the kidnapping was all different. So I don't know how much this version veers from the original, but like the quote said, she was taking revenge out on like a king because he didn't choose her. So he took her kid.
His kid. Yes. And I'm so like, she stole the royal baby because the king didn't return her feelings from back in the day. Like she had feelings for him. He was like, oh, I don't want you. He married somebody else, had a baby. And so as an act of revenge, she was like,
that's my baby.
Yeah. She would have been my baby if you said, yeah. So this is basically my baby. I'm taking her. And that actually put the two kingdoms at like, I mean, they weren't at war, were they?
They were enemies. They were enemies, but they were like on the brink of war because they were literally planning like war throughout the movie.
Because Rapunzel's dad thought that the neighboring kingdom stole the baby. And for years and years, that was the thing. You stole my baby. No, I didn't. And so they hated each other. And meanwhile, it was Gothel.
She trapped Rapunzel within the tower grounds her whole life, has made her be a servant. She emotionally abused this girl. She neglected her. The works. Yeah. All of the above.
And she didn't have remorse either. She was 0 to 100 with her discipline. So she would be like, oh, you said no to me. I'm going to destroy all the art you've created over these years.
Oh, like, you prepared my tea a degree higher than I liked. There goes your paintbrushes. There goes your freedoms. Yeah. There goes your human rights.
Yeah. So, and then literally she kidnapped a child because she was like, because she got rejected. Like, there's no remorse there. She kept her for, how old was Rapunzel? Like seven? I don't know how old she was, actually. I don't remember. But like,
she was older end of the teenager. Scale, yeah. As usual. Of course, I don't know if all versions of Rapunzel does this, but her hair was cut off as an act of aggression because she was like, you can no longer leave. So
yeah, she was like, oh, you're lying to me, huh?
And then she had the nerve to make that into a wig and like pose as her and crash the ball that Rapunzel was supposed to go to and like seduce the prince into thinking it was her just so she can like get inside and like get the king. And I'm like, the Delulu goes crazy.
She was crazy, bro. And I mean, we already talked, like, one of her, honestly, that animal sidekick is just a part of her villainy, honestly. Like, that's worth mentioning as a point of she evil, because that sidekick was the worst. It was so annoying. And then she also had a dragon as her, like, what do they call it? Yeah, I guess so.
He was like another servant.
Yeah, so
he had a daughter.
And the daughter was friends with Rapunzel. And so Gothel, she, you know, she had them enslaved or whatever. They were working for her. And she abused them too. So if they did something that she don't like, or if the daughter was being too friendly, she would punish the dad because of it. And just stuff like that. Like, she was just bad.
My last bullet point on this was, what was even her evil plans? She wanted the kingdoms to destroy themselves, but why? Pure Delulu.
Yeah, she because, was just
like I kind of get, I mean, I don't approve, but I get like, oh, I'm mad at you specifically, so I'm going to take something from you. But also part of the reason was so that the kingdoms can just like be at each other's throats. But I'm like, but why go that
far? She let them be at odds for so long and just sat back and watched. But what was she gaining from that?
Like, actually, well, she thought she was gaining like, ooh, satisfaction because now they're all mad because we can all be mad together. Like,
if I'm not happy, nobody can be happy.
Likes company.
So I feel like she definitely has to be in the top five just because she, when she destroyed that art, I was like, How could you simply do that? And she cut Rapunzel's hair and she abused the dragons. And yeah, like she pretended to be Rapunzel and tricked the prince. And then she was throwing like magic blasts at him and stuff. Like she was gonna hurt that boy.
He was like, barrel rolling, get out of the way. She was just like, I don't care what happened to you.
And I feel like that's pretty intense. So I think she goes like fairly high. Where do you want to put her as a placeholder? Because we're doing this out of 10, because we technically have 15 people. So we're going to do a top 10 and then maybe some honorable mentions. So out of 10.
I'd say 5 or 6.
We could put her at 6 for now.
Because, she was pretty bad.
All right, next movie, we have Barbie of Swan Lake. And the villain here was Rothbart. His first crime is that he's ugly and got a big eye nose.
It's so crazy. I put that, and then like the past couple weeks, I saw a video that I told you about where I was like, where they were like, we always put large features onto villains and then make that a symbol of evil and bad. Whereas in real life, people have these features, like different noses, like ethnic noses, if you will. And I don't know, big lips or something. And it's like, we need to stop normalizing this in cartoons because we make the protagonists have button noses and large, pretty eyes. And then the villains have like, what do they call?
The bridge?
Yeah, like a really pronounced nose bridges or like the bottom is all crooked, like stuff like that. And I was like, we shouldn't do that. And then I go and put big on nose.
I mean, it was huge.
I mean, it was actually like 80% of his face. So you know, that's not quite real life. So with that said, I stand by what I said.
So his deal, besides just being ugly, was that he let envy take over him. He was mad that he wasn't chosen to be the fairy king over, I don't know if she had a name, but she was just the fairy queen
or whatever.
Yeah. So he was mad that he wasn't chosen to be as such. So he poisoned the forest. Again, it was a case of if I can't have it, nobody can. So he enslaved all the elves and the forest dwellers. He turned them all into animals. While poisoning the forest, and his daughter, just like Otto from Mother Gothel, this chick, where did they get these voice actors from back in the day is what I'm wondering.
They
because
did not well, because I hated her.
She was something else. And he enabled her. Like, she was a diva. She was very spoiled. And even he was tired of her, but he did it to himself. Like, he raised her that way.
And then he would get annoyed, and I'm like, okay,
that's what I'm
doing.
Saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You want to read the last two? I don't know if you want me to read the whole thing. I don't want to take over.
You just might know.
So he was also a manipulator because he tricked Daniel, who was the prince. Mm-hmm. The prince outside of the forest. He tricked him twice and his mom, the queen.
Queen mother.
which he was trying. He was tricking him into. Basically killing, was she Odette? Mm-hmm. To killing Odette because she had power. She would have been able to stop
his plan.
Rothbart's plan. So he was like, well, I can't kill her. So she kind of likes this boy. So I'm going to manipulate him into killing her. He tried that twice. Didn't work. And then the last bullet point is that he turned the fairy queen into a mouse. He turned the scribe? Or like the bookkeeper of their world or something. His name was Erasmus. And he turned him into a worm. And he accidentally turned his daughter into a pig. And really wasn't even... He wasn't like mad about it. He was like, oh my God. Oh. Oops.
Who should have believed her too?
Yeah, right. So
like, Daddy, come back!
Oh my God.
He was like, finally, I'm rid of her.
Yeah, nope. He poisoned the forest. He enslaved everybody. He didn't
like his lot in life, so he made it everyone else's problem.
Yeah, which is pretty bad, but I feel like a standard villain.
Yeah, like he didn't threat actual murder. He was just turning people into animals, so like lesser versions of themselves, I suppose. Whereas like Mother Gothel, she was straight up about to kill the prince. She basically banished Rapunzel into death when she enchanted the tower the last time. It was like, you're just going to starve to death, like no food, no water, no nothing. So she was like, don't care about no lives. I feel like he wouldn't necessarily have resorted to murder. He just wanted the position.
But he was poisoned in the forest. Like, people were going to die. I don't know. I feel like maybe he's top 10, but maybe like we'll put him at 10 for now because we're only working with two people so far. But what do you think? Do you think he'll be an honorable mention?
I just feel he should be in a lower.
Okay, lower we'll put half. Him at 10 for now. Okay, next.
Oh boy.
Our favorite movie we mentioned in episode 1 when we were doing the About Me questions. I think the question was, what are three films you could watch for the rest of your life and never get tired of? And she was like, Princess and the Popper. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that? Because yes, best Barbie movie is just amazing.
Preminja.
You can take this one.
My first bullet was Villain Hands with the sparkle.
Because
emojis.
He's like, his hands just was doing a lot.
He was doing a lot. His very being was drama. Like, he just exuded. It was in his blood. Speaking of attempted murder, actual attempted murder on the two of the protagonists, Julian and Annalise, because they were in a mine shaft and he just straight up collapsed the mines on top of them. Like,
and
he got out and was like, whoopsie, and they were trapped in there and he was intended on them never coming out. We were like, oh,
he already planned to be like, oh my God, there was an accident in the mines, they didn't make it.
He got her ring as proof to the mom that like, oh, this was all we could find of her, and she was like, no, and then he was just like all according to plan,
right? So attempted murder,
two counts of abductions on the same two people that he trapped in the mines. Wait, how did he get Annalise the first time? Oh, like, put her in a bag. Like, literally, scoop her up in a bag, and then for Julian, knocked him out, put a bag over his head, like, straight up. Like, good grief, where are you getting all these bags from, bro?
They had plenty, bro. They had a lot of wheat and grain.
Animal abuse. Love that we put that.
Because that's definitely a crime.
Yeah. He was straight up abusing the horse that he was riding. Like, that poor horse. Hervé. He deserved better. And Wolfie, what did he do to Wolfie specifically?
Dang, we should have probably...
We didn't do, like, super specific stuff for maybe for the first few ones, but he was not kind to animals. Potential robbery of the kingdom's wealth for power leverage. Where he keep all of it?
Where he keep all day.
I think that was autocorrect issue. But basically, the kingdom was not doing well. And they were at risk of like bankruptcy, but he was all of a sudden like, oh, your majesty, as your royal advisor, I have found a pocket of wealth. Actually, it's my wealth and I can help you out, you know, just for a small little price. Make me king. And she was like, I mean, we can't do anything else because we're going to die. So I guess.
But no one questioned where he got this wealth. And really, he was just draining the last bit of the country's resources. And I don't know where he was hiding it in the
meantime.
Yeah, maybe
I think that's what that one parentheses was saying. Like, where was he keeping piles upon piles of gold and then lying about it and never been found? Like, that's crazy. Right. Like, they're in the mountains. Like, it's not like he can just, like, go down several streets and be like, hey, yo, let me hide my gold in your... Y'all can't go nowhere. You're landlocked for real. So I was like, where?
Yeah. So those are his crimes.
Just casually drained the kingdom's resources to be king. Like
he did a whole song about it. It was a great song but iconic. He was like, the kingdom's not doing hot.
I've been bowing. I've been scraping. I've been lying like a rug. And for 10 long years, I had to pay my dues. So, oh, so good.
He was like, I found all this wealth, so like I can give it to you. I don't mind doing that at all, but like if you married me because you're a widow and made me king, then like it's a win-win.
Like, it's no problems.
So that's why he tried to Annalise, because she was next in line. So he was like, if I get rid of her, then like
then
nobody's in my way. Didn't work out, obviously, but I feel like those crimes, attempted murder, two counts of abduction, animal abuse, and I don't know what it's not embezzlement. It's not like I mean, is it treason? Like,
it was absolutely treason.
So he's got a lot going on.
Not only did he take all the wealth, he was lying about it and concealing it. And the kingdom literally could have collapsed because of that. So I don't know the legal terminology for
there's
that.
There's some real world implications to this as compared to like Rothbard, even though what he was doing was bad. This could happen for real. This involved and I the feel economy. Like that's even more like villainous. So he definitely goes higher than Rothbard, and he's definitely in the top 10. Even like I'll allow a little bit of bias here just for Preminger because it's just my favorite movie and I just think he's iconic. Number four.
Like, I don't know. He's gotta be
He should be higher than Gothel.
Oh, for real?
Just because I mean what Preminger did. It was more short term. Okay, wait. She had two kingdoms ready to like end each other for like they were at a cold war for like 16 years.
His wasn't necessarily short term. That's just the only window that we saw. Would have damaged the economy for years. But once again, it was only for one kingdom. This Mother Gothel involved two kingdoms, and it would have been like a large scale war.
So and an innocent child.
I get it. Okay, let's put him at seven.
Since she's at seven six right now. Eight. Yeah, priming.
Yeah, because they did the same, both animal abuse, both like emotional. Well, he didn't really neglect nobody. He was just.
He was so silly that, like, you can kind of laugh at some of the stuff he was doing. Gothel was just.
Yeah, she
bad.
Was just like. Oh
like,
God,
there was no redeeming. Yeah, like. So, yeah, that's that. Next movie is Barbie Fairytopia. Now, this villain, Laverna, Fairytopia spans across.
It's a trilogy.
Yeah, three movies. So Laverna is the villain in every movie. So
really, we're just going to talk about what she's done in general.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
throughout all the movies.
In the first movie, Fairytopia, another remorseless villain, she has been cooking up a device to take all the guardian fairies' powers for 10 years. Like
a whole decade.
She. And what was her thing?
She was the sister of the Enchantress, who was the leader of all of Fairytopia.
So another jealous.
Well-loved, basically like Rothbart. Like, he, Rothbart's cousin had the power and was chosen over him. So he was like, I want it, though. And the same with Laverna. So she had been plotting her revenge for 10 years with this device that would make them not able to fly.
And so she also had... So once they weren't able to fly... this is the sickness. It's a sickness to keep them from flying. And then she was going to be like, I have an antidote, everybody. Like, nobody knew it was her who infected them. But then she would come out of nowhere and be like, I have an antidote. And then she would win everybody's trust for saving them. And then, like, try to make her claim to the throne. And be like, well, your queen couldn't save you, but I did. So, like, should I be queen? That was her plan. Is this animal abuse or like is just kidnapping? I don't know, but
both
the protagonist's animal sidekick, his name is Bibble, he's a puffball. Laverna trapped him in a tetanus riddled cage, is what our notes say, because that thing was rusty.
Gross. Tricked her sister, the mother of an enchantress, into reconciling just to poison her into slumber. It was basically death. But, you know, Barbie movie said, we're not going to just straight up murder, I guess. So we're just going to put her in eternal rest.
Right. And then she kidnapped all the guardians. And her plan was to take all their powers and just become queen. So, like, bad. But obviously it's Barbie, so she didn't win in the end. But so they destroyed her plan, her machine, all that stuff. They banished her to the bogs of the hinterlands or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, in the second movie, Fairytopia Mermaidia.
Oh my god, the first bullet.
Go for it.
Oh, her right-hand man. Well, were they all fungus, but he was only Fungus Maximus?
Yeah.
Okay, so there was like a species called fungus, and the leader, Fungus Maximus, said, I'm gonna choke y'all out in y'all own home. And he had a green vial of poison that he was threatening to dump into the water. And this poison depleted all the oxygen in the water. And he was holding the mermaid prince hostage and was like, if you don't show me do we have it in the notes? Oh, the immunity, Betty. The immunity. name better. That's how he said it. He was like, if you don't show me where this immunity barrier is, which would give her like ultimate power, I'm going to poison all of the ocean. Like it's going to happen in like 10 minutes. Like it's that powerful. And
he actually put a drop in there to like show that he wasn't playing drop. And it
that thing went crazy. Yeah. Like,
so I was like, oh wait, Barbie, y'all kidding. Like, yeah, I was kind of like, surprised that they did this.
Threatening to like decimate an entire ecosystem, like ecosystems.
Yeah.
Biome.
So like, mind you, Laverna's banished right now and she's in frog form, like way on the outskirts of like
civilization and everything. Yeah.
So she's sending Fungus Maximus and the rest of the fungi, fungus, or whatever,
fungus,
to do her bidding for majority of this movie. But they would always show like Fungus went back to the bogs and was talking to her. And at one point he was like, the brackishness of the swamp water really brings out the light in your otherwise murky eyes. And I'm like, bro, this dude
crazy.
If
your right hand man describe you that way, then you're vile.
So yeah, Fungus Maximus kidnapped the Mer Prince, Prince Nalu, to force him to reveal the location of the immunity berry. Was that when he dropped the mm-hmm. that was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When he first got him.
Okay, so the berry protects somebody from magic from past, present, and future. And that's why she wanted it so bad, because
she would basically be God.
Yeah.
Like nothing can touch her.
And
she threatened to hang Maximus by his toe to be eaten by what were called firebirds if he didn't enter this vortex that basically did that lead him to the berry.
Yeah.
And
to
he
the
was
cave.
Like, I'm not trying to go down there. That's crazy. I did all this, but like not that. And she was like, if you don't do this, you're done. He was like, okay.
So yeah, she
had no remorse, like for her people or for the enemy. Like she just didn't care.
And then in the last movie, Barbie Fairytopia Magic of the Rainbow, she came back herself. Like nobody was doing her bidding, and she was there. She tricked the protagonist, right? She tricked her into like she was like, oh, I'm just a poor frog, I need help, can you help me with this? And she was like, oh, poor frog. And she helped her, and then she transformed into Laverna, and she was like, you just signed the death warrant for Fairytopia as you know it. Ooh, how does that feel? And it was like, oh my god, like that was such a moment.
That,
I was
that
like,
is such a villain line.
Yes. So she's back now, and she was infiltrating. Wait, this is when they were all training to do the spring bloom thing, right? So she infiltrated their school and basically took over one of the students' minds, right? Or she hid her and then disguised herself as the girl. So she was there whole time learning how to do this ceremony that starts spring. And if you fail this ceremony, like if it fails, it's winter forever, basically.
It was for 10 years.
10 years. Okay. So that was her plan in this movie, to just make it winter for 10 years. Because at this point, it's been 3 movies. She's been foiled and foiled. So she's like, you know what? Everybody gonna suffer for real. I'm done trying to like play hero, become queen. I'm just trying to kill everybody. So we don't have many bullet points for this movie besides the...
The second one is homophobic, because it's called Magic of the Rainbow. And we were like, oh my god, Barbie said gay rights. And she was just like, everyone's my enemy, actually. And I'm like,
yeah, so
gosh.
So jokingly, we were like, yeah,
but
she's
yeah,
homophobic.
We didn't really put much, because like... Actually, why didn't we?
Probably
like,
because
she just had one
the
main motive.
Yeah, and we already talked about her twice at this point. So like, yeah, we know what her character is by now, so we just
basically her thing was like, if I don't get what I want, everyone suffers.
Yeah, so she was also like,
movies.
I'm gonna pick all y'all off one by one and I'm gonna stop the ceremony from happening. Obviously they stopped Laverna instead, but culmination of all 3 movies, like it's the fact
the
that like she kept coming back automatically puts her as one of the worst villains for sure, because she wouldn't die. Like, she wouldn't stay gone. And she's so persistent.
She had tenacity.
She tried it the nice way the first time. I'ma just stop y'all from flying. I'ma give y'all the antidote. I'ma be queen. That didn't work. So she was like, genocide of ocean creatures. And then in the third one, she was like, okay.
Genocide of the world.
Yeah. Well, maybe not quite genocide because like
the fairies can't really live in winter like that.
Okay. Well, like,
that would have destroyed them.
So yeah, basically
she was like, if I'm gonna take myself and all of y'all down with me.
Right.
Cause I know she probably wouldn't have been well either, but she said, you know, it's to make my point.
I don't know. You know how evil is. She probably thrived in the cold, or she probably had somewhere else to be.
A bunker.
Something. So I think all of that combined definitely puts her in, I don't know, is top three too high or just top five somewhere?
Definitely top five.
We could put her at...
like, at least two attempted genocides.
We could put her at number four right
Treason
now.
Treason, for sure. Animal abuse.
So number four for now?
Yeah.
Laverna. Okay.
Oh, good grief.
The next movie, this dude's going, I mean, he's definitely top five too, I think. We'll see.
Wenlock from Barbie Magic of Pegasus.
Barbie and the Magic of Pegasus, yes. Your first bullet point is...
the audacity. His whole, oh my God. TLDR for him. He wanted what he wanted. This is a recurring theme. It's like, if I don't get what I want, it's everyone's problem. And his audacity was that he just liked women. And he was like, I'm just going to take her. And if you don't give me her, your whole kingdom's frozen. And we were like, okay, so she's 16. You're how? Yeah. Like, I don't really know how old he was. He was just like ancient or something.
Because he was a warlock. So
yeah, like- he could have been around forever. He casually was abducting women from across the lands to be his wives. He had like a collection of women and stole a sorcerer's staff to become a literal danger to society. Because he had magic, I guess maybe innately, but the staff was really what channeled it. Or maybe only the staff had the power. I think only the staff had the power.
I think so. Because then in the end, without it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he just stole some sorcerer's staff, like, you know, off the side of the road and was like, this is mine now and this world will be mine too.
So he went around and was just like taking the princesses of kingdoms and was like, you're going to be my wife. And then he would get tired of them, turn them into a what would you consider them? Like a hag, I guess.
They're dwarves.
Okay. Well, he would turn them into... not themselves anymore, and then go on to try to find another princess to steal. So he did that in our protagonist's kingdom to her older sister. He was like, I'm coming to take you. Take Brietta when she was 16. And she didn't want to, so he turned her into a Pegasus. And then years later, when the protagonist named Annika, she was 16, he came back.
So basically he likes minors. It's like, what is this pattern of 16?
But the time period was like, it was time period appropriate, I guess. Like, if you want to try to date it, it made sense, but it's like not okay still. So Annika, it was her 16th birthday. He was like, hey, I'm here to try again. You can come with me. And obviously she was like, no.
Again.
Yeah. So she said no. And he was like, she was ice skating at the time. So everybody on the ice rink, he turned everybody into ice and was like, all right, I'm going to give you 3 days to become my wife or this spell is going to be permanent. Everybody's going to be ice and it's going to be on you. So she went on this journey to like find the opposite of what his staff is, the good wand, light version.
The wand of light.
And so she could defeat him and like just put it into it in general. So... oh, yeah, I see the bullet point about turning his previous wives into dwarves mm-hmm. because they were annoying and he made them his servants. And all of them were being abused emotionally because they would come to serve him food and he'd be like, he would smack the tray up and the food was spilled on the lady and he would use the bottom of the tray to like pick his teeth and like he would be like, oh, this isn't good enough and whatever. Like he was just really abusive.
He tricked the one, like, another audacity moment was, like, it's something he didn't even have to do, but he did, was that he tricked this pawn shop owner and turned him into a doormat so people can keep walking all over him.
Now, the pawn shop owner was not innocent, but he definitely didn't deserve to be.
He had to do all that. Like, I'm pretty sure he was normal after he was defeated in the end. Like, he got transformed back. But it's the fact that he literally was like, look, you turned into exactly what you are, a doormat.
Like, that was wild.
That was crazy.
We just said crazy at the same time. Anyway.
And then the last bullet point we have is that he left the protagonist for dead by burying her under a huge pile of snow. Like, yeah. Massive, like, avalanche.
Like an avalanche, yeah.
And she was done. Like, she would have been done. And he just left. I was like, ha ha ha, I don't even want you. I never wanted you. I just wanted the thrill.
Yeah, and so, then, like, this dude is gross, like, on, yeah, a lot of levels. And I think that's just, like, he deserves to be high on the list because...
A menace to women and kingdoms around, yeah, the world.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? he got what he was, yeah, owed in the end. Desserts. So, you know, shout out to them for doing that. Like, that was cathartic. But, yeah.
Barbie really went crazy with this one. Like,
so, you want to put him at 5? Because right now we have a 4, 6, 7, and 10. I feel like I wouldn't be mad if he gets put lower later, depending on, you know, how this is going after we read everybody's crimes, but I feel like I want to put him at 5.
Okay.
You want to do,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, sure.
Who's this? I forgot that quick.
Winlock.
Okay. Next, we have Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses, and the villain is Rowena. She was their cousin. Or their cousin? Their dad's cousin.
Yeah, their aunt. Wait, no, their cousin. Yeah, sorry.
So, there are 12 princesses. Their dad raised them alone because the mom died in childbirth after the last kid.
Which I'm surprised she lasted that long.
But. Yeah. So, he's like, how do I raise 12 girls on my own? So, you know, it was just kind of seeming like they weren't going to be ladylike enough to go find husbands and stuff like that. Rule so he brought in that his cousin who was, she was a duchess. Mm-hmm. He brought in his duchess cousin to basically teach them etiquette, teach them manners and everything. But she saw this as her opportunity to ascend into power. So she was just abusive to the girls. Like she took all the fun out of everything. She made them wear gray outfits.
Depression gray, millennial gray.
Yeah, like prisoner gray. And she was just the biggest gaslighter. But who was she gaslighting? Was it the king?
She was gaslighting all of them.
Okay.
Like,
she was a gaslighter. And while she was there treating the daughters like that, she was also slowly poisoning the king so that she could take his place. So she served him tea one day and was like, to your health. When she was giving him poison tea, I was like, nah, this is crazy. And then, like, at the end of the movie, like, towards the end of the movie, she gave him one last, like, he was, like, in poor health at this point. Like, he was hanging on by a thread. So she gave him one last cup of tea, and she knew that was going to be the last one. So she just revealed her whole plan to him and was like, no one will miss you, King Randolph, especially not me. And, like, she high-key killed this man. Like, he died.
He was basically dead.
We'll get into how he came back, but she basically killed him. Like, so we have a count of murder. Not attempted murder. She killed this man. So that's a high crime.
not to mention the tax evasion.
Oh, yeah. We have a bullet point.
Our first confirmed canon tax evasion crime charge, whatever you want to say, in the VCU. Because there was an apothecary that they were getting information from. And he said, everybody knows she don't pay her bills. But yet she's a duchess and she's high up in society. So
yeah, like, so how's she not paying her bills? Tax evasion. And so the reason the movie is called 12 Dancing Princesses is that all the daughters like to dance. And at some point in the movie, they found this like secret pavilion where they could like dance magically all night or whatever. So there was magical water. The flowers were magic. So you could wish on anything in there and it will turn into something. So, when Rowena, this is Rowena?
Yes.
When Rowena discovered this pavilion, she, destroyed it. And our bullet point says she destroyed the only way out of the enchanted pavilion so that she could make, the daughters enemies of the kingdoms by saying that, oh, they ran away. They're traitors. So she was going to trap them there. And, oh, you know what? In relation to related to the tax evasion thing, the bullet point before that was that she exchanged the deceased queen's silver goblet in exchange for more poison to kill the king. So She was using other people's stuff to pay for the poison to kill the kid. Like, not his own wife's.
I'm about to say, not only other people's stuff, like his beloved wife's. One of the only things that she left, like that the daughters had or whatever, so that without second
thought. Yeah, so like, what do you mean this is not an evil? Like, this woman is evil. She's so insensitive too. Like, the daughters would be like one of their birthdays was there and they were trying to celebrate the birthday, but she was like, I don't care. We got stuff to do today. So we're canceling the celebration. Not like, oh, y'all got to do this later. She was like, we're not celebrating. We're working. And she had an animal sidekick who was also like the worst. And he was breaking gifts from their mom, breaking stuff that meant stuff to them, and was like laughing about it. He threw this jewelry box on the ground. Oh yeah, we have a whole section for him. We can get into that. His name is Brutus. You can take over, bro, because okay. I'm just mad thinking about him.
So I'm just going to read verbatim for the bullet points because I put my feelings into the bullet points. The freaking monkey, Brutus. This was a quote from you, Mecca. You said, wiry and wet, like steel wool that sat in the sink for a day. That's what he looked
That's
like.
That's what his fur looked
That's
like.
That's just actually his portrait. That's just him. He chucked a sister's music box over his shoulder and decimated it. A music box from their mother, you know? A certified snitch, no matter what they did.
He ran straight to her.
And like, he couldn't talk and be understood by humans. So he would just be like, or whatever. And she's just like, oh, what are you talking about? But he would direct her to the chaos. And she's like, So you couldn't breathe around his monkey without him telling on you. And then he ripped several flight feathers from this bird, which I don't really know for a fact if birds can regrow their flight feathers, but they kind of are very important. So he was just straight bloop, bloop, bloop. And he was like on the ground writhing. And I'm like, oh my God. He was doing it for sport. So
yeah, like just because he's just as nasty as his owner.
We should have put ugly in one of his bullet points too. But I guess
the wiry and wet, like steel wool that's been sitting in the sink for a day, that, you know, that's not pleasant at all. So
actual attempted and succeeded murder for a while. He got wished back to life essentially. But she killed that man.
He took his last breath. So
she stole from the royal, I don't know, possessions and sold the queen's goblet. Tax evasion and
just being abusive.
Emotional abuse. Not really physical abuse. She didn't hit them, but like she destroyed their stuff. She destroyed their dreams, their hopes, their happiness. But she's the first actual like villain that succeeded in killing someone.
Yes, she's very evil. So
she's gaslight gatekeep, but without the girl boss, because she doesn't deserve that title at all.
And you know, one thing I appreciate about these Barbie movies is that the way the villains get their due in the end is like pretty satisfying. Justice. So she wanted to keep the girls from dancing, and she ended up being put under a spell where she had to dance for the rest of her life. Like she was just dancing. Yeah, basically.
Did it make her immortal, or was it for the rest of her
life? I don't know.
Was
like,
it forever? No, it was forever. The spell was like dance forever.
Yeah. So she got what she.
She's cooked.
Yes, but where does she go? Being a murderer, and an abuser, and a thief, and a tax evader. Stupid monkey.
I low-key feel like she should be above Winlock, but below Laverna.
All right. So like, Winlock moves down to 6. And
because he also kind of attempted murder in a way.
Half the kingdom and
stuff. Like, they basically are dead. Like, they can't do anything. But Laverna was, like, 2 counts of attempted genocide. So, like, I don't know about going above that, but, like, she straight up was about to destroy this kingdom from the inside out, so.
I think, unfortunately, and maybe it's not unfortunate, but Laverna will have to pretty much stay where she is, if not move higher, because this was 3 movies of this mess.
She's like, had 3 movies to explain and display her evil.
Yeah. And she had 2 chances to do the right thing, and she didn't. So,
Right isn't in her vocabulary.
All right, next movie
we have like the most bullets for this.
Barbie as the Island Princess with the villain Ariana. God. We do have quite a book order.
Read the bullets in order, because that is kind of in the order of the plot.
Yes.
Without having to get too deep into the actual plot, because we're already, this is already long.
Yeah.
All right. So we can just add on as we go. But she grew up bitter because of her parents' actions. She was, what was her position before she rose up in power? Like, she was like the daughter of a farmhand or something. Like, she grew up on a farm. So her parents tried to kill the king and queen of their kingdom and obviously didn't succeed, and they were punished by their land being taken from them. So she ran away from all of that because she was like, I'm not about to live a life in the dirt. And she ended up marrying this really old king. She like climbed up in power. They didn't describe exactly what she did to like climb the ranks, but she did. And she married this really old guy. And her villain song of the movie, it basically explained her whole life and all her motives. Like, they just laid it out for us. They were like, we're not even going to let you assume.
Like Preminger, yeah.
Yes. Like, she said, this is, it started when I was born, and then, like, this is why I'm doing this. And I was like, this is a banger. But there was a line in the song that said, Sunday we were wed, Wednesday he was dead. So, happily that put an end to us, was the line.
So, she only married him because she knew he was going to die soon, mm-hmm. and she would have that position still as a widow.
And
so,
I'm thinking she low-key accelerated his death somehow, but they didn't say that. But, like, knowing her, she would have pulled a Rowena and poisoned his tea. Like, she did something. She, I put, simply had a daughter when she heard that the King Peter, he was the prince's dad. Did we determine that?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, let me just read it. Simply had a daughter when she heard King Peter, who could be the king who wronged her parents, had a son who is probably the current King Peter. There you go. So she trained her daughter, Luciana, to marry the current prince so that she could basically have her hand in power. So she didn't really care about her daughter for real. She was a pawn.
Nah, yeah, she just had this kid so that she could
use the kid.
Lucky
that it was a daughter, the first child. She had these three rats that worked for her, and she enlisted them to poison all of the animals' food with this herb called sunset herb, and then blamed it on the protagonist, because the protagonist hailed from an island. She grew up on an island because she was washed. What do they call it?
Shipwrecked.
Yeah, shipwrecked, washed away or whatever.
Castaway.
Castaway. That's what I was thinking of. She was cast away on an island, and she grew up there with all the animals, so she could talk to animals. She was one with nature type of thing, and the prince loved to explore. So he came across this island, met her. She was like, oh my gosh, human. And he was like, oh my gosh, interesting girl who is different from all other girls I've met before. You're the one. So they went back to his kingdom. But with all of the other plans that Ariana had, she blamed this poison herb on her island disease, and that she brought back this disgusting thing that was just taking out all the animals, and that we need to get rid of her. Because she's foiling my plan. Like, she was falling in love with the prince was falling in love with her, but her daughter was supposed to marry the prince so she could become powerful, and like, this won't cut it, so she gotta go. She paid some guy to kill her at sea after she was like blamed for it, and the king was like, it's your fault, you gotta go. And she was like, but it wasn't me, I know how to save the animals. And he was like, island vermin, get out of my house. And he worked on the ship. He was a sailor.
Yeah, he was just a sailor.
She paid him to make sure she was done when she got on that boat. And my last bullet for this was that she poisoned the wedding cake and at the end of the movie when her daughter and the prince were finally supposed to get married, so that the royal family could be taken out after the wedding. So not only was she trying to get her daughter in, she was like, she's going to marry him, and then I'm just going to kill all y'all so that there's no one left, so that I'm basically queen. Like,
didn't this happen in Bullet Train? In the part of Bullet Train?
Oh, I think it did.
When Bad Bunny's character was getting married, the wedding cake had been poisoned, and like everybody started like bleeding out of their eyes.
Or something,
the
wine
like that.
Or something.
Something. That kind of reminded me of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just backtracking really quickly to the rats that she enlisted to poison all the animals. She did them dirty too. They did all that work, and she was like, yeah, I'm gonna give y'all all the cheese y'all could desire if y'all do this favor for me. So they had a whole song, like, so excited for this cheese.
The song was actually really good.
And then she only gave them one cube to split amongst the three of them. So, like, she did them dirty too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
so. We got
she has a history of like, she has a terrible history and she's just a terrible person. And her poor daughter.
Yeah, her daughter was the sweetest thing.
I don't know who raised her, but
because it wasn't Ariana. Like, this girl somehow deflected all of the evil that was coming off her mom. She was like, a negative plus negative makes a positive because I'm an angel.
Yeah.
And she was so sweet, but she came to terms by the end of the movie that like, oh, my mom is like, not only is she just strict and stuff, but like she's evil. And she's the one who did it. And she spoke against her mom, right? Like at the end, she was like,
yeah.
Mother, wasn't it you who blah, 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 blah? And she was like, you're on my side. But no.
Yeah. So.
Which is very satisfying.
So she potentially killed that king that she married, the really old guy. I mean, he was old, so he was going to die. But like Mia said,
like that quickly after the wedding, it was so literally 3 days.
She may have killed him. She poisoned all the animals with sunset herb. So they were going to be asleep, not be able to eat, and then basically starve to death in their sleep. So she attempted to kill all the animals on the island. She tried to get Rowena. What's her name?
No, her name was...
Rosella?
Yeah, but went by Ro.
Okay, so she tried to kill the island girl out at sea.
She hired a hitman.
And then she tried to kill the royal family by poisoning their food. So, like...
Multiple accounts of attempted
This is the
murder.
Most accounts of attempted murder so far.
What do you call, like, indirect murder or something when you hire someone to do it for you? You're not the one doing it, but, like, it's premeditated nonetheless.
I guess. I don't know the term for it, but yeah. So she definitely is on the top 10 list, but where, I'm not sure. I think we can put her above Preminger, and Preminger right now isn't number 8. Is she higher than Mother Gothel? I think the weight of what Gothel did still, that was almost destroying two kingdoms. But
and if we compare like the fact they both had children, Mother Gothel was a lot more aggressive with her abuse. But Ariana's abuse was more like emotional neglect. And she did not connect with her daughter at all. Like, she didn't care about what she liked or wanted to do. She was just like, you're going to do what I want you to do so that I can get what I want. So it was like neglect versus a couple different types of abuse from Mother Gothel. She brought her stuff. She probably would have slapped her if she could. Like, she left her for dead. Like,
But I still think, I mean, even having potentially destroyed two kingdoms and kidnapping a baby, I think all of the attempted murders that this is who we're talking about, right? Ariana tried, like, she was more hands-on with these things. So I feel like that's a little bit more egregious, personally.
So it's a morality battle, I guess, of like her being more directly tied to what went down versus like being a bystander to your one crime of 10 years ago or however long, 16 years. And then like the dominoes are falling and you're just watching all the destruction. You're enabling it in a way by like not stopping it or not coming out and saying, I took your daughter, because why would she do that, right? So,
So right now we have Wenlock and then Gothel. I'm thinking Wenlock, Ariana, Gothel. But if you want to do...
I'm not opposed. I feel like I won't be opposed until like everyone's on the list.
Okay.
We should have... I don't know. We should have did like a separate list of crimes outside of the notes, like to sort of compile what they did, just so it could be a little easier. Because this is a long.
Yeah, we're already at 1 hour and 5 minutes.
This is gonna be another two-parter.
we can indeed do a two-part. Because I think we're gonna be at least another 30 minutes with this, and I would hope that you guys like listening to us this much, but I don't want to
just
gonna
be a yap session.
Yeah, I wouldn't really enjoy myself sitting through this long because my attention span is short. So if I was listening, I don't know if I would appreciate it being this long. So we can make this a two-part, but should we continue filming and then just cut it in half?
Yeah.
So we've never done this format before. So if it's a little wonky, bear with us. I think we are going to end it here at
part one.
Yeah.
Just so it won't be 300 hours.
Right. So thanks for sticking around for this. I hope it's enjoyable so far. We're just going to like cut it here and then, you know, just pretend like when you see part two that, you know, that we're not in the same clothes, but whatever. Make sure you
be honest. I'm in my Barbie fit still.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Related Note Pod. And subscribe to us here on YouTube. Catch us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts at On a Related Note. You can search us On a Related Note. And yeah, I think that's it.
Until part two, we'll be up again.
Bye.